Now, that was the CBO report, and I brought that to you yesterday. Well, perusing through it further, I came upon another nugget that I did not get to yesterday, so I apologize for not getting to it yesterday. However, let me fix my mistake, because there was another piece of that CBO report that I neglected to throw in that's really, really, really important that you and I understand. The Congressional Budget Office, which is credible, Congress created it to be credible, nonpartisan, bipartisan. The CBO said, if the Republicans repeal and do not replace Obamacare, they simply repeal it and leave it. In the first year after repeal, premiums, health insurance premiums for everybody will go up 20 to 25%. So there's that. And the Republicans keep seeking to be hell-bent on simply repealing Obamacare. And which is weird because Obamacare is now more popular than ever. The polling on it is showing it is more popular than ever. It is now accepted by a majority, more than half of the American people. And the Republicans are tone deaf and blind to the fact that they're going to do tremendous damage to not only their own constituents, but everybody else, which is actually a fascinating issue. Because you and I have been debating this question here of how is it that we are fighting for the people who benefited from Obamacare, and so many of them are in Republican states, and they're voting for Republicans to kill the health care that we're fighting to get them, right? We're fighting for the people who are fighting to kill themselves, and we're fighting for them, and how do you square all of this stuff? Well, that issue got presented very nicely today in the United States Senate, because a Georgia Republican congressman, a medical doctor named Tom Price, who is one of the leading Republicans trying to just destroy everybody's health care except for the rich and the upper middle class, Dr. Tom Price, who's the nominee for Health and Human Services, he has actually authored a plan to replace Obamacare, and it is atrocious. It basically denies health care and health coverage to anyone who's poor and anyone who's middle class. If you're rich or upper middle class, Dr. Tom Price, he's good for you. Everybody else, forget about it. Well, this issue of how can you be a Christian, and so many of these Republicans are Christians, and they're trying to rip people away from their doctors, I don't see how you square those two contradictions. But this issue of us fighting for them to get health care and them saying, no, I want Republicans to take it away from me. And we're saying, are you nuts? What is the matter with you? Don't you understand this is good for you? And they're saying, no, it's big government jamming stuff down my throat. Keep it away. Right? This is the insane situation in which we find ourselves. And today, it kind of all came to a head in the person of Bernie Sanders.
Do you believe that health care is a right of all Americans, whether they're rich or they're poor? Should people, because they are Americans, be able to go to the doctor when they need to, be able to go into a hospital because they are Americans?
Yes, we're a compassionate society.
No, we're not a compassionate society. In terms of our relationship to poor and working people, our record is worse than virtually any other country on earth. We have the highest rate of childhood poverty of any other major country on earth, and half of our senior older workers have nothing set aside for retirement. So I don't think compared to other countries we are particularly compassionate.
Now, Senator Sanders, he asks a question, he gives the guy about 3 seconds to answer it, and then he goes in and lectures the guy. But, of course, Bernie's totally right. The guy who said that we are a compassionate society is Republican Congressman Dr. Tom Price. This was at his confirmation hearing. And he's the guy who wants to destroy Medicaid. He's the guy who wants to destroy Medicare by privatizing it. And Bernie and Dr. Tom Price got into it today.
In Canada, in other countries, all people have the right to get health care. Do you believe we should move in that direction?
If you want to talk about other countries' health care systems, there are consequences to the decisions that they've made, just as there are consequences to the decision that we've made. I believe, and I look forward to working with you to make certain that every single American has access to the highest quality care and coverage that is possible.
Has access to does not mean that they are guaranteed health care. I have access to buying a $10 million home. I don't have the money to do that.
And that's why we believe it's appropriate to put in place a system that gives every person the financial feasibility to be able to purchase the coverage that they want for themselves and for their family. Again, not what the government forces them to buy.
Now, there is some of the testimony today, and we're playing semantic games here because the Republicans are doing this access thing, and what they're talking about is giving each person a piece of paper and saying, take this to a health insurance company and buy what you can, and that piece of paper is going to be so woefully inadequate that people will buy ridiculous things that are not insurance, and then they will find out when they need it that they've got nothing, and then they're going to get really, really mad. And Senator Elizabeth Warren knows all of this.
You said you'd cut it by Medicare by $449 billion. Your FY17 budget proposal also would have cut Medicaid funding that goes to the state governments by more than $1 trillion. Is that correct?
Well, I think, Senator, the metrics that we use for the success of these programs is not necessarily whether the amount of money into it is what we ought to be looking
for. For Medicaid.
What we believe is appropriate
is to... Do you want me to read you the number out of this?
No, I'm sure you're correct. What we believe is appropriate is to make certain that the individuals receiving the care are actually receiving care.
I understand why you think you're right to cut it. I'm just asking the question. Did you propose to cut more than $1 trillion out of Medicaid over the next 10 years?
You have the numbers before you.
Is that a yes?
You have the numbers before you.
I'll take it as a yes.
There you go. Now, unfortunately for Dr. Price, Senator Warren and Senator Sanders are on the same committee, and they get to basically double-team the guy. And as you can tell, Senator Warren made him very uncomfortable by pulling out his own numbers, saying, look how much you're cutting out of programs to help elderly people, people with disabilities, poor people. And all the guy could do is say, well, you're reading those numbers. I mean, he could not bring a Christian, a good God-fearing judge, a stand Christian, could not bring himself to say, yes, Senator, I want to deprive people of access to doctors because Jesus has compelled me to do it. This is the insanity that you and I now find ourselves in. And President Obama, on his way out the door, is trying to give us some reassuring words.
This is not just a matter of no drama, Obama. This is what I really believe. It is true that behind closed doors I curse more than I do publicly. And sometimes I get mad and frustrated like everybody else does. But at my core, I think we're going to be okay.
Well, it's easy for him to say he's going to be okay. He's a former president. Things are going to be nice for him.
My working assumption is that having won an election opposed to a number of my initiatives and certain aspects of my vision for where the country needs to go, it is appropriate for him to go forward with his vision and his values.
There you go. That's the president today at his final press conference. Tomorrow, just so you know, the last full day of the Obama presidency. And let me finish how I started. You and I really ought to spend at least a nice long moment taking stock. And by that I mean, we never thought a black man would get elected president in our lifetimes. We never thought a black man would get elected and not get assassinated. Be honest now. Be honest. We never thought a black man would get elected and actually survive two terms. We never thought a black man would get elected and be reelected and survive and not have the military depose him, right? And not have a riot, not have a revolution. We never thought he would actually bring us back from the brink of a depression. We never thought he'd be successful the way the public's defining as successful and leaving on very high approval numbers. Bill Clinton and Ronald Reagan-style numbers. We never thought any of that would happen. We actually did get our first woman president, but because it's a rigged, fixed system, that didn't happen. You and I, and look, I'm about to turn 58 years of age, so, and I have a very good memory, I have a very good brain, and I remember a lot of things. And so I can look back on America the way it was in the mid-60s, and I can tell you, even then in the mid-60s, I could get a glimpse into the America through my father's eyes, especially in his siblings and older people, listening to them about the way things were back in the day. And seeing the old buildings and stuff, I could get a glimpse when I was a kid of what life was like for them and how society was like for them. And it is so radically different now, not just with the smartphones and the iPads and the technology. Our attitudes about ourselves and each other. We've changed. This nation has changed so much, and we've got a tremendous amount of work to do. We were so far back in so many ways. But I'm really, really proud that we've gotten it here. Now, the thing was stolen away from us on November the 8th. It's rigged and fixed. We got work to do. So let's spend a moment and say, look, we've done a lot of good, but this contest is never over. They relitigate everything. We relitigate everything. Let's keep relitigating everything. The fight never ends. Bernie Sanders is in there fighting a dude 75 years old. You saw what he went through last year. He hasn't given up. He hasn't thrown in the towel. You can't. I can't. The devil's about to try and seize us by the throat. Every defensive barrier that we were able to erect between us and Donald Trump has failed. Every barrier. The Republican Party failed. The election failed. The electoral system failed. The electors abandoned Alexander Hamilton's vision. Every defensive barrier that stood between us and Satan has fallen. And here he comes. Germany is now in occupied France. The German army is now in central Paris, okay? So it's now up to us Parisians to repel the invaders. Getting the analogy? We have a lot going on. Did you see the climate change news out there? I got climate change news for you. There is very scary news about what's going on in this new illegal administration. Oh, boy. Oof. We're just getting warmed up.